I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Today's discussion concerns women operating in sectors of business which one would typically characterize as being male-orientated industries. We will address the progress and challenges that women experience and what is being done to overcome these issues. Joining us in studio is Mrs. Kile Quinana from the South African Women in Construction and Mrs. Nora Fakunde. And I will give a brief introduction to you. Mrs. Kile Quinana is an entrepreneur. She previously worked with SAA in the corporate world. And after leaving SAA, she founded Intando Tando General Trading and Services in 2006, which is a company that she owns and manages. And over the years, this has been evolved to a fully-fledged construction and consulting company whose core services are in general building, civil works, renovations, maintenance, and project management services. Additionally, she is the CEO of Kudu Technologies and Lekile Consulting. She is the chairperson of South African Women in Construction for the Gauteng province and a board member and interim national president of South African Women in Construction, where she spends her time mentoring other women and youth in the business. She has also served as a member of the working committee, which was instrumental in the relaunching of the Black Business Council, and currently continues to serve in the Infrastructure and Economic Transformation subcommittees. She is also Treasurer General of the Black Business Council in Build Environment. And in her spare time, she enjoys spending time with her family and friends, reading, playing golf, and jogging. Very industrious. Mrs. Nora Fakunde is a mother of four girls, and I think that is a particularly significant element given the topic of our conversation today. She is a teacher by profession, and she started Bokgleba Wheels, a company which does manufacturing, refurbishing, and maintenance of the military fleet in 1997. She was appointed to Middelburg and Palabora and also does tenders. She came into Buscor in 1998 as a director and minor shareholder, where she began to aggressively start training female bus drivers, and to date 10% of trained bus drivers are women. Additionally, she decided to rebuild the Daisy Zena Plaza 5 years ago, and building completed in 2014 May. And interestingly is the agreement that she had with her contractor that 40% of the workers who were doing the work there were women, which I think is another significant accomplishment. Her other accolades include being the 1982 Business Achiever of the Year in South Africa, 1986 Businesswoman of the Year in South Africa, the 2004 Black Businesswoman of the Year South Africa, and in 2014 she was awarded an honorary doctorate in business management. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the United Nations Goodwill Ambassador on Malaria in Africa. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence.
Welcome to the second part of our discussion, addressing women in construction and transport sectors, with our guests, Mrs. Kile Quinana and Mrs. Nora Fakunde. In part one, last week, we spoke about Mrs. Kile Quinana's and Mrs. Nora Fakunde's personal journeys into the construction and transport sectors. This week, we look at some of the gender dynamics women experience in these industries. Let's pick up the discussion addressing resource accessibility. Mrs. Quinana.
If I may, Doctor, another burning issue or one of the things that I see as bottleneck is the issue of funding. If you've heard Ms. Fakunde, she mentioned how difficult it is. So imagine if you're supposed to start a contract, you've been awarded a contract, and you go to your bank and your bank will be requiring this, then they can only approve you after 48 months if you are lucky, depending on the size of the project. You find that you get to be sent from pillar to post, you know, at the end of the day. The project is started, you've got your letter of award, you're supposed to start working on site, and then they tell you, no, bring this, you bring that, bring that, you bring that. And worse now is that when they want collateral. Especially in the olden days, remember, most women, even if you were married in community of property, the title deed only had your husband's name.
Now, where do you find collateral under those circumstances? You know, so you'd find that at the end of the day, you become too much a high risk for any bank to associate with you. So already, your project is delaying, and you'll be getting those intimidating.
And you have penalties as well when you don't.
So at the end of the day, you find that the project fails before it even starts because of lack of funding. You know, on the other hand, for funding for the skills training and development again for the women that I'm talking about that have come together to say, guys, please help us. I'm not too sure whether men counterparts are afraid that if they keep on funding, women are going to go up with knowledge and skills and become so capacitated that they can take over. And yes, that is a possibility. But the nice part is that once you've empowered those women, you are sure of loyalty.
Absolutely.
Women are not the ones that are going to up and go and work in Dhaka or go and work in God knows where. We are loyal to the South Africa, so the rent will still remain within South Africa and grow this economy because we've got more responsibility than men may have at the end of the day as people that are indignant of South Africa. So my appeal would also be there in the people that are in the space, corporates that have got money that can assist with funding and training, to make sure that programs such as your South African Women in Construction programs, like the ones that Mrs. Fakunde is busy with to develop and empower women, are properly structured, one, and secondly, they are properly funded, because without money, it's very difficult for you to be able to push these programs and get the achievement. Because remember, some of the people that are coming from the ranks of the training and development are going back to the very same open market, and they can compete and they can be trained, you know, and they can be absorbed into the economy by getting opportunities to do the jobs. So in some cases, that is even worse, is when a girl child is placed in a company, maybe as an apprentice or as an internship student, and they don't get an opportunity to do what they have been trained for. Like, for instance, you've got a child that has come through the FET college or come through the university, but now they need that experiential learning. So you've got the whole person who's supposed to be a quantity surveyor that is being sent to go and make copies and go and buy Nando's, you know. The whole project manager that is supposed to be working on site and see how things are being done, being sitting in the office and making teas for the boss. So I always say, you know, the road is still long, but because we are women, we've got that tenacity. Because we are women, we are hard as rock. We will keep on pushing until we get this thing right. But South Africa will be correct, and South Africa will be built by women that are South African.
I agree fully with Mekuneni, especially when she spoke about the HIV project that they have. You know, initially, when I introduced female drivers, men couldn't even jump into the buses because they thought they can't be driven by women. Unfortunately, they do now. And we care for the communities that we serve. And I challenge women who have already tried to make it to go back to the communities and assist, because I personally, we built a school, I rebuilt a high school because it was in the bushes and girl children were raped on their way by foot to school. So I had to relocate that high school closer to the community. And today I'm feeding about 1,185 children a day. Children which are headed by children because the parents are dead or something is amiss in the family. And we build houses for poor people, not because we want to, but you are faced with a situation where there's no house. You can see the people are sleeping outside in the rural areas. There's not even shacks. It's something you don't have a name for. And we go out of the company and build those houses and do a lot of things so that the community at least feel that they are in a new South Africa.
It's a social responsibility.
Definitely.
And I think quite often we almost sometimes want to rely on government in our new dispensation to be able to provide everything for everyone. But the reality is that's not going to happen. And it's us taking charge and responsibility for ourselves and for our communities for their upliftment.
That's very true. That's very true, because government can do only so much. Like I'm saying, the policies that are there are wonderful.
you know. But as South Africans, we also have got to take that citizenship into cognizance and that social responsibility. Make a difference in your little corner. If I make a difference in my little corner and yours, at the end of the day, two little corners are going to be brighter than what they were before you and I stepped in.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the United Nations Goodwill Ambassador on Malaria in Africa. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence.
If you have just tuned in, we're talking about women in the construction and transport industries with Mrs. Fukude from Buscor and Mrs. Kwenana from South African Women in Construction. What I'd like to get a handle on, and I hear this over and over again, South Africa has wonderful policies in place, but we really struggle with implementation. What are some of the solutions that both of you can offer on how we can better implement these policies?
From my side, again, to allude to the fact that there is willingness to listen and to learn. We are engaging with government at different forums. We're also part of the Black Business Council in the built environment. And as such, we do speak to the department. Like, for instance, the latest development is that we are speaking to the National Treasury. That has been used as a scarecrow or as a gatekeeper, you know, for the implementation of the triple BEE policy. And what we have discovered by so doing is that there is a disjuncture in communication between when the policies are being issued and the people that are supposed to be implementing. The people that are supposed to be implementing may not necessarily be well versed with how the implementation is supposed to unfold. So at the end of the day, they say, we can't be able to implement triple BEE because we've got the triple PFMA.
So there's a conflict between policies.
There's a conflict between the policies because they say the triple PFMA says that everything that we do must be within the ambits of law. It must be done by ABCD, and therefore this makes the BEE to fail.
Do you think we've got too many policies?
We do. We really do. Too many pieces of policies that create confusion. So... but I find that through engaging in dialogues and debates, we are able to find each other. So it's for the first time actually in my life that I've ever seen government that is so willing to sit down around the table, and government that is actually saying it out that, guys, without business, especially without small business development in this country, we are not going to go anywhere. And that is evident, because if you see now with the new cabinet, we even have got a ministry,
yes,
that's dedicated
ministry
to the small businesses. Yes.
And do you foresee things changing for a positive benefit?
Definitely. Definitely. I see things changing positively, because then this will not only speak to knowing that the small businesses out there. Remember, if you're looking at the even history of the country, we've got spaza shops that have been kept, and that have kept the communities running, that kept communities together, that need to be broad-based from being just a spaza shop to being a supermarket. Now, contrary to that, you've got now the shopping malls that are coming into your communities, into your townships, into the detriment of your small plaza shop at the end of the day. But the development of this SMME is going to be influenced and informed, or its terms of reference are going to be informed by the issues that are on the ground. And therefore, whatever strategies maybe that we come forth with are going to be addressing those issues. So it's going to be more on an application basis than just a high-voluted theoretical aspect. So I'm very positive.
Yeah. To me, the policies, yes, we have too many policies that may be conflicting with each other. However, it is to me an indication that we have a government that is willing to do things, hence the many policies. However, the policies sometimes are drawn by people who are not going to implement, and they sit with a poor guy who doesn't even know where to start. I think communication and training needs to be accelerated in government, especially those who are supposed to implement those policies. And government should also look at the policies that are not helping the things that they want to implement, because some of the policies do retard progress, but in the main, they are of good intentions to try and accelerate economic development, especially in this country.
Another area that I'd like us to probe is about entrepreneurship. Because for both of you, in essence, you're pioneering entrepreneurs who have grown your respective businesses into significant entities. And looking at aspects like the small, medium enterprises and having the new ministry in South Africa, it's a way of creating more opportunities, smaller opportunities for individuals or smaller collectives. If you could share your thoughts.
There is definitely so much that government can be able to do to absorb the people that are unemployed into the system.
Well, we've got a rate of, I think it's 25%.
Exactly, and most of them are youth.
Yes.
So you can just imagine how much job is government supposed to create really to be able to absorb all of those people. And government is already the largest employer, you know, in the country, which is good enough. But the onus also lies upon us now, you know, as small businesses. Because, again, you take history from where we're coming from as a country. One of the things that has made South Africa to be put in the map initially was because of our strength in the industries that we created. Right now, we had mines, you know, that have been working. We even had international investors that were willing to partake until, of course, things fell apart due to apartheid. And now it becomes honorable unto us now as the businesses of the day to make sure that we do a very good job together with our government supporting us to make sure that we re-industrialize. Because without industrialization, we are not going to be able to make to create those jobs. It doesn't help for all of us to be just come service providers. If you're looking at the construction industry, the bulk of the women are on the service provision, which is now the actual construction itself. But if you're looking down the value chain, you'll find that there are no suppliers, there are no manufacturers, there are no... all that we're doing is like we are just providing service. We're more on the consuming side than on the production side. So who is still running the production side of things? That's the question that we need to answer as a country, you know. I've just been on a trip to Germany about 2-3 weeks ago, where I went to see and do some assessment on the water purification systems that are there, the technologies that are there. And it's amazing. Actually, I can even stand and say, amongst the black South Africans, I was the only black woman that came from here. It was myself and my partner, of course, you know. But I'm also thinking on the other hand that are we really boxed as SMMEs just to think small? Are we really boxed? Do we have a ceiling of how far we can go? Are we that scared? But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is that government keeps on saying, guys, come up with your biggest dreams that there is on planet Earth. And see, and test us and see if you can be able to support you. So far, I'm really, really one of those people that will stand and say, when you approach government with a proper proposal, you will get help.
So they've stood up to the test?
Yes.
And they've provided that support?
Definitely. Still hiccups here and there, but we're getting there. So it's not like there's nothing that is happening at all. You know, children's steps, but we are getting there with those baby steps. Every single day we're making progress.
You're right when you said there is a good story to tell.
Exactly. Exactly. I believe so.
Well, just to add on entrepreneurship, you know, especially us who are in business, we tend to want experience. When you employ, you want experience. And you are the one who is supposed to create experience.
Mm.
Especially the youth, if we take them in, train them in what we are busy with, and then don't just train them to be workers, train them and give portions of the things that they can supply you with, as she, Magumeni, rightly said. If, like, for us who are in transport, even if you give them a subcontract to wash the the rims and the tires, you are creating an entrepreneur. Other than just looking for people who will give you employment, and also just making sure that they work for you and not gaining anything, people must also throw people into risky areas, but there must be people who are willing to take risks, not just get a salary at the end of the month.
Also, we need to look at the culture of good work ethics.
Mm.
Because I find that is really, really going down. You know, we are raising generation of especially young people that want quick fixes, and they want get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah.
It's sad because all they're thinking about is one day I'm going to grow old and I'm going to tender and we are creating more tenderpreneurs than we're creating entrepreneurs.
I think it's a Hollywood attitude.
It is a Hollywood attitude. But even in Hollywood, people work hard. If you listen to those stories, they have really, really earned their stripes to be where they are. So we need to instill that even from school in our children. Take a typical example of how difficult it is to get a child to do homework. So imagine if they are refusing to do homework when you get to the term when they have got to be employed, how difficult it is. So at the end of the day, some of them are even stuck in universities. They don't want to leave university. They go for their undergraduate degree, and from there they do their honors, and they do PhD. Somebody's got a PhD at the age of 27, 28, but they don't have any working experience. You know. So we need to also look at that and begin to.
It's a total compliment. You need to have the education in terms of your knowledge, but you also need to have the experience to deal with those the real world skills.
And you must be ready to dirty your hands, sacrifice your integrity and dignity, because business is not just about being a business person with a briefcase and an office.
And a suit.
It is going out there, working hard, prepared to be thrown, to get stones. Because it's not just going to be starting my business today and it flies.
I think that you've both demonstrated that it is exceptionally hard graft, and I hope that is a message which goes out. You've risen to the top, but only through the hard endeavors that you've encountered.
Definitely. We've made it through the recession, and here we are still standing.
In one piece on the other side.
Yeah.
Even if it's in pieces, we're still standing in one.
We pray that the mining sort out their problems so that we don't get another recession.
Oh, God, please help us.
Economic downturn.
Yeah. Yes, we absolutely hope for that. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
If you have just tuned in, we are talking about women in the construction and transport industries with Mrs. Fukude from Buscor and Mrs. Quinana from South African Women in Construction. A question that I'd like to ask you is in terms of the work that you do in the continent. We've spoken a lot about South Africa, but I wanted to find out if you had any ventures that you had expanded on into other countries in Africa.
On my side, it has been very difficult because for you to be able to go outside there, especially in the African continent, that is so looking up at South Africa to give direction, is a challenge if you're not economically strong or financially strong. Over the years, especially because now we know that our president, Mr. Zuma, is heading the infrastructure development of the entire African continent, one gets to be challenged as to what is it that we're going to do as South Africans. So we are in talks, be it coming together with the established sector so that we can be able to penetrate, because even the African brothers up there are always saying, we see aeroplanes landing and taking off, but we don't see you as black brothers. So the opportunities are quite out there. They just need us to be focused and go for it. So far, we have not really tapped into that market, but we are planning on going there. Also, with the empowerment of women in those countries. We've just experienced the issue of the girls in Nigeria that have been taken, which is a very, very painful story, I must say, and a sad story because it's being done by the very same black brothers that are supposed to be protecting those girls. So the work is not just about the business, but it's also about the cultural changes that are supposed to be there, about the way that an African man looks at a female species.
From my side, yes, I did a bit of work. It's Africa, like on the military side, I was supplying military skills to Namibia, the military there. I also supplied refurbished military trucks to Mozambique, and I am still supplying Uganda with military trucks. I'll be having a shipment next month going to Uganda. However, growth is difficult because their culture of doing business so different with us, and it discourages one a bit. And the conflicts that they do not allow you to can grow in the space and do what you are supposed to do as a business person.
And I think that's an area which we often underestimate, and particularly with internationals coming into the continent,
yes.
that they decide Africa is this uniform entity, we're all the same. We've spoken about the very real realities of cultural conflict just between gender in South Africa, let alone what we're now broaching as we make our entries into other countries in the continent.
Yeah, that is just the way it is. Again, I'll still say that the onus lies on us as the people that are existing today to make sure that we change things the way that things are being done. We cannot really afford to have, we used to complain about the West coming to the African continent and taking our resources. You know, looking at it primarily, we've got all the resources here in Africa, but we don't own anything. We only own the finished product. So we give away our resources, they get to manufacture, we still buy those products back here. So imagine how much money is leaving the country or leaving the continent that could be making the continent to become better. Even worse, now we've got all of these fights that are happening. You know, and that are being fueled by the very same people. Now, we're no longer worried only about the West, but we've got the East as well that has made its inroads. We've got Chinese all over the show, and whenever they come, they bring their money, they bring their labor, and they take whatever that they want to take. So for as long as we're sitting and feeling pity for ourselves and not getting challenged enough to come together as a group, because obviously, myself as Gile, I may not be able to conquer the world, but I need somebody else to be associated with, that we can together be able to put our heads together and put our resources together and go up there and take Africa back.
Yes, and even amongst ourselves, Africans, we tend to look down, what is best is what comes from outside. We don't respect what is our own. We don't support each other in order to produce our own. Even the infrastructure that is coming, I hope it's going to be Africans building the infrastructure, because here we have ladies in construction and we have engineers and everybody. But you might find the Chinese and other people building our roads into Africa.
Well, I think the messages that are coming out are that we need to increase our solidarity amongst women in particular.
Absolutely.
We need to start changing our mindsets, becoming more assertive. And we start to look at the aspects, whether it be from entrepreneurship, but increasing the benefication of what we do with our raw resources, what we do with our raw material, so that we own greater aspects of the value chain, and to create more of a production culture as opposed to a consumerism culture.
Definitely.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
If you have just tuned in, we are talking about women in the construction and transport industries with Mrs. Fukude from Buscor and Mrs. Kwenana from South African Women in Construction. Thank you very much for your participation in today's show. What I would like you to do is to give a few words of wisdom, hope, aspiration to women who are listening to the show on the continent, so that they can see how they can aspire to become more like you in terms of the work that you've done, that they can achieve it.
My word, I don't know whether to say it's a word of wisdom or whatever, but it's what keeps me going. First is that as a woman, you have been designed and fashioned by God to become a woman. It's no mistake. And if you decide to go and participate in an industry that is male-dominated, you don't have to compete with those men. You don't have to lose your femininity. You still retain yourself as a girl. And don't be ashamed of crying if time needs for you to cry. Because that's what keeps you going. So don't lose your identity as a woman. Secondly, you can be able to carry a child for 9 months. and give birth to that child and put aside so much of your time so that you can be able to raise this human being, because God has trusted you with that human being. Therefore, the same way that God has trusted you with somebody's life, God is trusting you with the economy of the particular country that you're living in. So it is your responsibility to go out there, think outside the box, don't be afraid. And courage is not the absence of fear, but it's doing in agreement with your fear to say, fear, you and I are going to go together, but we are going to achieve whatever that we have set for ourselves. Because there's nothing impossible that we cannot be able to achieve if you put our minds onto it.
Thank you. And Mrs. Fukunde?
For me, it is, especially for women, let us not be distracted by the problems that are out there, which are focusing on distracting women in achieving the goals. If you have a goal, focus and focus. Nothing beats focus. We tend to be jack of all trades. And once you are a jack of all trades, you will be a master of none. If you are in the building industry, focus in growing. And as you grow and rise up and lift other women with you, don't be threatened by the threats that are surrounding you because you are a woman. I always say women are well-organized men. We have the same brains and we can do more. As long as you are focused, you are committed, you are dedicated, you allow nothing to be on your way, you will achieve what you are supposed to achieve. And be level-headed, because there are a lot of things that can distract you. But focus, as you rise, lift other people, and if you care for your community, God will bless you. Because it's not just about you, it's about the community that are around you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. It's been wonderful having you here, and I think that this is a conversation where we've just touched the tip of so many aspects, so many important issues that face women and society as a whole. Thank you for your time, for participating in today's show.
And thank you for inviting us, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
You have been listening to Womanity, A Woman in Unity, and on today's show we have been talking about women operating in sectors of business that are typically characterized as male-orientated industries with Mrs. Kile Kwinana from the South African Women in Construction and Mrs. Fukunde from Buscor. And I would like to close the show with a quotation from Nelson Mandela, which encapsulates resilience and perseverance, which have been dominant themes in our discussion today. The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, my faculty.
Thank you, Doctor.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band.